Do welcome to your pulpit tonight, Mr. Johnny Smith. Many of the young people will know him well, of course. And he's the son of our minister in our daughter, Reverend David Smith. We're glad that he's along tonight. Johnny and his wife, Grace, live over halfway between Portadown and Dungannon. They're members of our Dungannon congregation. And the Lord has been speaking to Johnny. And he's gone through the college. And he's come tonight to tell of what the Lord has called him to do under the mission board and to bring us God's word. And we're glad that he's here. We had a good meeting this morning. And we're looking for the Lord to bless us again tonight, even as God's servant comes now and speaks to us.
Well, if you turn with me, please, to Psalm 78, the book of Psalm 78. And as you're turning, I do thank your minister and the session for allowing me to come along and share with you on this missionary weekend. It's a great privilege. So thank you. And we trust we know the Lord meets with us tonight. I do know I have seen a few faces that I've been with in the past since I left school. There's a man called Ivan at the back there who used to work with. And he had a hard time looking after me in my late teens. But we got there. And there's a few people here that I know through the church as well. Many young people throughout the youth council. I've been along on a couple of outreach teams last year, and recently I've helped with a training weekend. So it's great to see some familiar faces. I want to just read a few verses here. I'll share with you a little, not so much of how the Lord led me, that is in a DVD that you might see in time to come, but to just highlight some things that you could pray for early on in this ministry, and then bring a short word, just a few thoughts and a challenge, and I trust it blesses your soul tonight. Psalm 78, verse 1, it's a word that we must pay attention to. It's something that God commands us to listen to. Because it says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God." Amen. Let's pray that God will bless His word to our hearts. Our Father, we do thank You for Thy word. We thank You, Lord, for the revealed word of God, even Christ Himself, who took on flesh, who came down from heaven, and took on the form of a servant. He came to minister unto others, the one who lived that perfect life, the one who fulfilled the law and accomplished what the Father had commissioned him to do. And we do thank You, Lord, for Your word that which we have in our own tongue, and we thank You, Lord, that we're able to read it and meet publicly together in worship. We thank You, Lord, for the liberty that we have in this country to do so. We thank You most of all for the liberty which we have in Jesus Christ, who has liberated many of us here tonight from the bondage of the law and taken away that guilt and declared us righteous. And by Thy blood we are justified. We thank You, Lord, for the faith which has been given by the Holy Spirit to exercise in the Lord Jesus Christ. We just praise You, Lord, for all the wonderful works that You've done in our lives in the past. We're grateful for what You've done in many of our homes. We're grateful, Lord, for what You do throughout our churches. We're grateful, Lord, for the work that's ongoing, and Your work continues to go forward. And we're grateful, Lord, that You use us, unworthy people, to serve You and to live for You and do what You would have us to do. Lord, what an honor, what a privilege to serve in the kingdom of God. In each of our lives, maybe not in a full-time way, but in each of our lives we can serve the Lord and live our lives before those who are still outside of Jesus Christ. We pray You'll bless the thoughts that are shared tonight and the ministry that I believe, Lord, You have called me to. We pray, Lord, that it will be a blessing to even younger people here tonight, that they'll hear the call of God and they'll go forward, live for the Lord, serve them in their lives, and even reach out to the lost. And we pray, Father, as we hear your word, that souls will be saved, souls will be convicted of sin. We know that by the law is the knowledge of sin. And we pray, Father, you'll justify them tonight through the blood of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. We pray these things in the name of that name, Jesus. Amen. This is a Christian ministry that I believe the Lord has called me to over the past 4 or 5 years. If you were to ask me a few years ago, what is your plans, what is your ambition, I don't believe I could say what I'm doing at this moment in time. I could never imagine myself standing before, for example, in Martyrs on Friday night, 1400 people, and sharing my burden before them all. I never thought I'd be going around new fellowships and church services preaching. That was the last thing that was on my mind. I had other ideas, I had other plans. But the Lord has led me this way, and I believe it is of Him. And He's spoken very clearly through His Word. And many of the passages that we'll be going through tonight, this passage in particular, and a couple of other things, hopefully, as the Lord leads, we'll go to. Those are passages where God has spoken to me. And various circumstances and people leading me in this way, and the Lord has used those people as His instruments in that way. So this is a ministry I believe God's called me to work specifically amongst the teenagers of our own churches, and to reach out beyond the compounds of our church walls and reach out to teenagers that are rising up in our society. I believe it's a needy cause. Young people face many, many different pressures. You know, you don't have to listen to me to know what issues are out there, but you know that depression is massive, suicide is big as well. There are many minor issues and problems that come into the lives of young people in regards to bullying, well, as verbal, and as well as that, there's cyberbullying on the internet. There's verbal abuse, which leads to depression and suicide. There's many things, many factors that lead to those terrible, terrible things. And even children, we hear in the news and through the media and in various ways, that children even on the mainland and even in our own country, no doubt, children, single figure ages, are suffering from great things that are going on, many issues in our society. It's a difficult society to live in these days. I believe there's much pressure, there's much influence to turn away from the truth. I'll not jump ahead of myself, we're coming to that little theme in a little moment or two, but anyhow, you get the picture. And there are a few things that I just want to lay out for a couple of minutes in regards to how the ministry is going to work. The ministry is working under the banner of the Free Presbyterian Church, particularly under the mission board of our church. And I believe that's biblical, to work through the body of a Christian church, a body of churches, and go out through that church and reach out in evangelism in that way. As we go out under the board, in God's will, in time to come, we're also, as part of my work, I'm working alongside the Youth Council to some degree. And I believe that's a wonderful step. I think it's an important step in order to get amongst our young people. There's many good fellows there who are representatives of different areas, and the president himself and other men who help out behind the scenes. They're doing a wonderful work, and I'm privileged to be able to work alongside them in their committee meetings and delegates meetings, and take part in whatever way I can and be of help to them and assist them in that way. It's a wonderful opportunity to get amongst them and work with them in order to reach out to our young people throughout our churches. So that's how it's working. We're under the mission board, and as well as that, I'm assisting under the board the Youth Council of the Free Presbyterian Church. So there's different things that involve in the Youth Council that I can get involved with them. A couple of outreaches each year. Had the opportunity to go along to their training weekend a couple of weeks ago and share with them in a couple of sessions. Speak to them in one session and share my calling in one of them. And so there's various different things. And one thing, I suppose, in the summer, which is I'm looking forward to as a highlight with the Youth Council, is a summer camp. I'm looking forward to that. The places, as I've heard, have been full. There's 40 young people going along, I think, to that camp. Reverend Stephen Pollock is leading that camp, and I've been asked to go along with, I think there's a couple of young people here who are going along as leaders as well, and we look forward to that. So I will continue, God willing, to get involved in new fellowships, and church services. Children's Day is coming up in June. I have a youth mission, all being well to do, in Crossgar for a weekend in October. Those are things you can pray for generally. But in regards to outreach, evangelism, in regards to starting out in this ministry evangelistically outside the church, we're praying that God will open up a door into secondary schools. There's many people throughout our churches and even under the mission board as well who go into primary schools, and I believe it would be a wonderful thing to get into secondary schools and get to where teenagers are, and I believe that can be of use to follow up from those who do school ministries within primary schools. And I know there are many organisations, Christian organisations, who go into secondary schools already, and that's good. But I want to try and get in there if that is the Lord's will. So pray between now and Easter, or now, it is Easter now, between now and the summer, as schools get back into their last term, we're hoping to approach some secondary schools around the area of Dungannon, and I don't know, maybe a dozen, 15, whatever the Lord leads us to. Pray that God will open up those doors to get into secondary schools, get into assemblies, and even RE classes as well. It would be very good to get into classes and to get in to teach the fundamentals of the Christian faith. And I do have that vision that as we reach out to some schools, that it will be a tool to be used for the local churches to make contact with young people and be able to do more in those areas for young people in society and reach out with God's word to present it to them. Over the next year, I'm continuing to do deputation meetings. I've had four already. One was in Ballymena this week and Clock Mills on Wednesday night. And we've had great times there, going around those churches, and I've really enjoyed them, sharing the ministry that the Lord has called me to. So pray for us as we continue to do that and go around to promote this youth ministry through deputations around many more churches that still have to be covered. So pray for that. As I continue to do that, I'm also working sacrally. I'm working in a building site Thursday, Friday, sometimes Wednesday. I try to keep Wednesday free as a study day and get ready for meetings and various things. On Monday and Tuesday, I'm working in a pet shop up near Annockmore, just about half a mile from my home. It's a pet shop warehouse out the back where you stack pallets and they get shipped out to the different places, different shops. So I'm working there Monday and Tuesday, two 12-hour shifts, and working at the building trade there in Lurgan Wednesday or Thursday and Friday. So I'm continuing to do that until such time as God provides for myself and grace as we go forward in this way. So pray that God will open up the door. We come to this passage in Psalm 78, which is very important. It's words that challenge me throughout college, particularly verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. It's a psalm that focuses our attention on reaching out to the rising generation. It's something that we all must consider. It's something that we all must do. And I'm just going to make some remarks on it and jump over to another passage in a moment or two. But it says in verse 1, "Give ear, O my people, listen, take heed, listen to what I have to say. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us." But he commands them to listen. He commands them to take heed to what is being said. It was urgent. It was necessary. I'm sure you'll agree with me. We live in days where we can be taken up with so many other things in society. And how easy it is to fill our weeks with so many things that we're so busy that we don't have time to express our faith before others and show people and reveal to people Jesus Christ and be a witness. Perhaps even in our homes we can fail to do that, and that's a scary thing, but we'll think about that in a moment. But it's a command to listen, and we can be distracted by many, many different things. We must listen to what God says in His word. It's very important. God reminded, or yes, He did, He reminded His people in this nation of His mercy. From about verse 10 or verse 9 right through to about verse 30, 31 or so, He reminds them of all that He has done for them in the past in leading them out of Egypt and eventually bringing them to the land of Canaan, having spent 40 years in the wilderness with Moses, facing many trials and different things. But yet at the end of it all, in verse 32, it says, for all this they sin still and believe not for his wondrous works. And I know there's many different types of people here tonight. I don't know everybody. But I'm sure there's many of you here who have been brought up in Christian homes and under the influence of the gospel in some way. Perhaps maybe generations ago that happened. Maybe there's a gap where maybe if your grandparents didn't trust the Lord, and then the gospel reached into your hearts again in these days. But we should always be mindful of what the Lord has done. I give an example of my own family. And I'm very thankful to the Lord for bringing me up in a Christian home and being under the influence of the gospel in my childhood and into my teenage years. It helped me greatly to face the battles that I faced throughout my teenage years. Growing up, particularly on the mainland, it can be challenging. My dad was a minister in Tavistock, but my great-grandfather, I didn't know him, I wasn't alive then, but my great-grandfather, he didn't grow up under the influence of the gospel. But he came into contact with the gospel when he went along to a gospel mission. And he was spoken to by the Lord. And of course he married and he had children. And my grandfather, Wolsey Smith, who some of you might know, he came out of that line. And he was brought into contact with the gospel as well. And of course my granda, he got married. And one of their children was my dad. And he came under the influence of the gospel as well. And they trained him in the ways of the Lord. And the four of us, my sister and my two brothers, we were brought up under the influence of the gospel with my parents. And what I'm saying to you is, there's my great-grandfather four generations ago, and he came into contact with the gospel and the Lord spoke to him. See how God can use one person out of a generation, and four or five generations down the line the gospel spreads. There's many in my family, sadly, still aren't saved. I mean the wider family, thankfully my brothers and sisters, they're saved and they love the Lord and they're looking for his leading day by day, and I'm thankful for that. But in the wider family there's still some unsaved. But nevertheless, there's many of us who have come to Christ. And it's wonderful how God can choose one person, call them out, and there's a great nation, or a great nation of God's people, like the nation that Abraham looked forward to. Remember what God said to Abraham, "In thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed." The blessing was Christ. And many would come to Christ and look forward to the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, coming in those New Testament times. So we must remember God's mercy, but we've got a responsibility to consider when we think about our families and when we think about church life. Ultimately, the first place for a child to learn, it's wonderful to see many children here, by the way, especially in the evening service. It's wonderful to see children and young people who've come out, families out together. That's very encouraging. It's wonderful. I don't have any experience with having children, but it is a biblical truth that the first primary place of instruction for a child is in the home, for a parent to love their child and to train their child and to lead them in the ways of the Lord. But it says in verse 4 of Psalm 78, "We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done." And hiding what from them? Showing what to them? What are we not to hide from our children? It says in verse 3, "Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us." Hiding those things which are true, hiding those things which are certain in the past, those things which are beneficial for them spiritually. We are not to hide those things. That word "hide" speaks of holding something secret. Secret. Either hiding it in secret by our words, or hiding it in secret by our actions. And you know, that's a terrible thing if you really think about those words, that those who profess faith in Jesus Christ, that if we were to hide the wonderful gospel of truth that we have in our hearts from our children, is that not a terrible thing? In our words, in our actions, hiding them in that way. We should not hide them from our children. We must show to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. But I believe that in the church and its evangelism, there's a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to reach out to the rising generation. We have a responsibility to reach out to the generations who are coming behind throughout our culture, throughout our society. The Bible refers to many, many times about generations and generations and generations of and speaks a lot about each generation. Makes a lot of mention. And we have a great responsibility to reach out with the gospel to young people who are growing up in our land. And I believe the Lord has laid that in my heart, that we would reach out in that way. And we hope for results. We do hope for results, that God will do a work in hearts. We go out with this responsibility, hoping and believing and praying by faith that God will do a work in hearts. And we pray that tonight, that those of you who perhaps haven't been under the influence of the gospel, and perhaps have been and you still aren't saved, that you would come and trust Him. Trust Jesus and obey Him and live for Him and serve Him with all of your heart and souls. And our hope is that, as it says in verse 7, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. And throughout every generation, that ought to be the hope of the church. It ought to be, or the desire of the church, to see God doing a work in hearts, whether they're young, whether they're old, but doing a work in each generation, calling out a people unto Himself and saving them, bringing them out from the world, and bringing them and separating them unto Jesus Christ. It ought to be the desire and the vision that we have. We think of the Vision magazine that we have throughout our church. It says vision on the front, but do we have that vision in our hearts? The Bible says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Are we looking forward to the future? Are we looking forward to see God do a work in hearts? There's many young people who are growing up in homes today who aren't growing up under the influence of the gospel. We've made much reference to those who do. There's many who don't. Children are suffering great consequences because of actions of those who have them in the home. Marriages are breaking up. Divorces are happening all the time. Children are watching parents split, many of them, by the time they leave school. 1 in 6, I think it is, in Northern Ireland, that happens. It's scary. It's tragic. And we must reach out to them in society. We must reach out to them with the gospel. And our prayer is for them that, as it says in verse 8, that they might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Now, there's many in the older generations who have come to Christ, and many of you here tonight, and many who I look up to in our churches. It's wonderful to have senior men and women who love the Lord, and we look up to them as young people. But there's many throughout the older generations who haven't, just like every generation. And our prayer is that those who are under the influence of those generations who haven't come to Christ, that they will be called out and that God will speak to their hearts. While there's many generations race through this life, God can still speak to the next generation and call out many who will serve Him and do a work in their hearts for time and for eternity. Who has hope? We thought of that verse in verse 7. Who has hope? Who has hope in this world? Those of you who are unsaved, how do you have hope? How will you have hope? True hope. Biblical hope. Those people who have hope, those are people who have confidence in God. Those people who have faith in the Lord Jesus. It says in Hebrews 11 verse 1, faith, it is the substance of things hoped for. That is the assurance. It is the evidence of things not seen. The Bible says in Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Those with hope have faith in the Lord. Those who have hope, they have faith in the Lord. I made much mention there. I want you to turn over to John 17. I made much mention there at the start, just a few little things about the influences that there are for young people growing up in our society. John 17 has a little to say in regards to the Lord's own disciples. The Lord prays to the Father, and He prays something very, very interesting there in verse 15. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. As we think of a little bit about this passage, and as we go through this a little bit more, and in light of what I just said about having hope and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to keep in mind, as I say a few more things, that A life that is given over to God is a life that's changed, and a life that is then used for the Lord. A life changed and a life that is used for the Lord. So I hope that stands out as we go through a couple of little more things. But verse 15 says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. We face a great enemy in our society, the devil himself, and we need to be right in the truth of God's word. We need to know the truth, because it says in God's word, the truth shall set you free. The truth shall set you free. There's a lot of wrong influences, as I've mentioned already, but there's also a lot of false teaching throughout many churches as well. And if we are to be grounded in the truth of God's word, or if we are to be grounded in the faith, true faith, and live true holy lives trusting in Jesus Christ, we must be grounded in the truth of the word of God. It's very important to be right in the truth. Jesus said in John 5, I think it's verse 39, he said, search the scriptures. And he said that they are they which testify of me. Search the scriptures, he said. Are you searching the scriptures? Are you looking for hope in the scriptures? Because that is where we find true hope. That is where we find hope for all eternity. The Bible says something true about ourselves. You look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians 5 and the verse 19. It says some very, very true things that you perhaps know already. But it's good to read God's word. And by the Spirit of God, I trust He will touch your heart as we just read these couple of verses. It says in verse 19, Galatians 5, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. There's a load of sins there recorded that we are prone to seek after in the flesh. Because of sin, we are separated from a holy God and we're blinded from seeing the truth. What does it say in 2 Corinthians 4 and the verse 4? Well, it says in 2 Corinthians 4 and the verse 4 or verse 3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. Verse 4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That devil, he blinds the minds of them which believe not with those influences, those evil influences, I believe, that the Lord was even praying for in John 17, that his disciples would be kept from. Instead of seeing the truth and obeying it and living it by nature, we reject it, and we fulfill the lusts of the flesh by craving and committing outward sins in our thoughts and our words and our actions. And many of the things listed which are mentioned in Galatians chapter 5 and the verse 19 and 20. And as we look into the word, we see the truth about ourselves. The word of God is like a mirror in many parts of it. It's like a mirror. It reflects or shows us who we are. As we look into God's word, we ask for God to reveal to us our sin. It shows us our sin. As we analyze our lives up alongside the commandments, we see that we have disobeyed God in all of those various ways that I mentioned. It says in Romans 3 verse 20, by the law is the knowledge of sin. True conviction comes from the Holy Spirit convicting us by showing us our sins as we analyze our lives up alongside the commandments of God. Through the law we realize we deserve judgment. And we have to say tonight, on the authority of God's word, that legally God, as a great judge, has the right to sentence those who have fallen short of his standard of righteousness. And he has the right to cast sinners into an eternal hell. God is a just God. He's a holy God, a true God. Many people today present a loving God, which he is. He is a loving God. He's a friend of sinners. But he's also a God of justice and goodness and truth. And he must punish sin. He must punish it. Whether you're young or whether you're old, the judgment and the wrath of God is poured out on those who rebel against the truth and turn away from it and disobey it and go their own way. As it says in Isaiah 53, all we like sheep have gone astray and we have turned everyone to his own way. Pilate, he asked, what is truth? Remember the words of Pilate, that question, what is truth? What is truth? Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Do you believe it to be true? Do you believe the word of God to be true tonight? I trust God convicts you in that way. We need to be real. When we reach out to the unconverted, generally speaking, whether it's going out to the far corners of the world or even in our own backyard, even in our own country, we must reach out with the ambition and the desire that souls would be saved, but we must remember that we must disciple those who come to Christ. You see, those of you who perhaps aren't saved tonight, it's important to remember that when you come to Christ, you must go forward with Jesus Christ. It's a willingness to go forward. Remember the rich young ruler? He came to the Lord and the Lord told him to do all the various commandments that he had laid out before him, and the rich young ruler, who seemed to be a young man, he said, I have done all these from my youth up. I've done all of them. Jesus said, one thing you lack. Sell all or give all that you have to the poor. And it says that young, rich young ruler went away sorrowful. You see, it's about giving up our all for the Lord Jesus himself. Giving up our all for him. And it's about following him and being willing to give up those things and willing to go where he leads us to go. John 17, verse 18. The Lord makes reference to what he has given to his disciples and how they responded to what he gave them. Verse 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. That's a very, very important verse. The disciples, they received the word of God in their hearts and they believed in the true Christ. They believed that he was the true Messiah, the one who was sent by God into the world to redeem sinners by making that atonement for sin, to deliver them from their lost estate and deliver them from the eternal punishment that was to come by the wrath of God. But if you're going to strive to be obedient, you need to be obedient and accept that Christ is the only one who can liberate you from the bondage of the law. He is the only one who can liberate us from our sins and separate us and bring us into union with Jesus Christ. We must trust in the one who has provided that wonderful work of redemption by giving his life's blood on the cross of Calvary. The one who has made that everlasting atonement for sin. He is the one that we must find shelter in and find hope in. It's a vital part, you know, of Christian ministry. It's a vital part of Christian ministry to point people to Christ, because it's him they must follow. The Bible says in Romans 3 verse 20, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified. As many people try to find their own way and try to think that I can go this way if I just keep obeying the commandments to the best that I can. Well, the Bible teaches that that is not so. That is not the way to heaven. The commandments are there to live by as good principles, and we ought to do that as God's people, and they're good principles to follow. But as we go out in Christian ministry, we're to point people to Christ. And as you accept Jesus Christ, as many come under the influence of the gospel and accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, it's from him that they are motivated to do those things which are good and beneficial to do in regards to spiritual things. It's not enough in Christian ministry to get people to follow principles and guidelines, and perhaps that's one of you tonight. Maybe there's an unsaved person here tonight, and maybe you think you're saved, but all you're doing is following a mere set of principles and you're not following Jesus Christ. It's very important. It came to my attention just a few months ago when I was studying this a little bit in more detail. It's very important that we follow Jesus and we're motivated by him to do those things that are commanded for believers to do in the Word of God. Wonderful thought to think about. It is following Christ and then by his grace We live holy lives because of the righteousness which has been displayed through Jesus Christ himself. I give an example of a potter. I know nothing about pottery, and I think I tried it one time in school. It was never any good. And I tried the building, and not really that much good at it either. But there's a potter. As a potter seeks out to do what he does, he makes pottery. He forms the clay, it's wet, and he molds it with his hands, and so on and so forth. The potter can either make something beautiful, something that looks good. I'm not into China and all those other things. Not the country China, the China that you make and you put in your cupboards. I'm not really into it, but there's China that looks really nice and it sits in the cupboard and various different things. It's nice to look at. But you might go into the kitchen and you see a bit of pottery that's useful that can be used in the kitchen or some in some other way outside, in outside work. But the potter can either make something beautiful, make something pretty, or make something that's really useful. But you know what? God does both. God makes something, first of all, beautiful in our hearts and in our lives. He changes the heart of the inward man. The heart is changed from disobeying to obeying God's word. It's a work of the Holy Spirit where true conversion is done. It's not just an outward profession. It's not just something that looks good from the outside, but it's an everlasting change done within the heart. And secondly, God does something in the lives of his people, well, which we have said already. He does that to make them useful. He makes us beautiful on the inside. He does that work in our heart in regenerating us to make us useful to serve him in the work that he has for each one of us. This flows from the beauty which he creates within us. This flows from that change that he has made in our hearts. It's the work of the Holy Spirit which sanctifies us and sets us apart through that truth that we've just spoken of. Sanctification, in summary, it's a work of God's free grace where we are renewed in the whole man. We're changed. We're regenerated after the image of God. It is a work done by the Spirit where we are transformed in the image of Jesus Christ, and we are enabled to die more and more unto sin and live unto righteousness. No longer to live for sin and to fulfill the lust of the flesh and live as we once did, but to go forward in the name of Jesus Christ, trusting in him, believing that he has pardoned all of our sins. And we look forward to that future. As Abraham looked forward in his life, as it says in Hebrews 11, he looked for a city, verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was one who waited for the city of God, the one who had provided that place for him in eternity. He looked forward to that by faith. By faith he looked forward to that everlasting life. Abraham, he was called out of sin. He was called to live a righteous life. As we said a few moments ago at the start, he was called to go forward and he would be a blessing to the nations of the world. Out of the nation of Israel, there would be that great blessing of Jesus Christ, who would come as a lamb who would be slain for the sins of the world. It says of Abraham, or it speaks concerning Abraham in Galatians 3 and verse 8. Galatians 3 verse 8, it says there, and the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. You know, the Pharisees and others and many Jews who lived in the time of Christ, they boasted themselves to be of the line of the genealogies of Abraham himself. You remember what John the Baptist said whenever he was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ and he was preparing the way of the Lord? He pointed down to the stones when people were coming to be baptized and he said to them, God is able to raise up these stones and make children of his. And you know, there's many people here tonight, perhaps, as I said a few moments ago, about following just a mere set of principles. You might think you're of that spiritual line of Abraham. But perhaps you're not. Perhaps you're trusting in the generations of the past, their salvation. We can't do that. We live in the 21st century. We live in new days. We are people who have been created by God, and our lives are accountable to the one who has made us. And we each have a responsibility to get right with God. Will you get right with God tonight? I trust that God blesses these few thoughts and this challenge to your hearts. I trust that you'll pray for me. I trust that you'll pray for the generation to come, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments. Amen.
Just bow our heads in a word of prayer, please. By God's servant speaking to us tonight, the work that he'll be involved in, and bringing the word of God to our hearts. On your way out, there will be a little prayer card, a little bookmark as well. There's opportunity on the prayer card to covenant your support towards Johnny. Do take him upon your heart. Pray for him. Pray for the children, young people, that he will seek to reach. Has he spoken to you tonight? Has God spoken? You're not seeing. Come this evening. We'll gladly open the scriptures to you. Point you to the Lamb of God. Lord, we thank thee for thy presence. We thank the Lord that thou art interested in the boys and girls and the young people. We pray that this generation might set their hope in God. O God, we pray for the older generation, that their hope might be set on Christ alone. Father, we pray that they might realize that following a set of principles or rules will not suffice. But Lord, thou hast given us thy way. Thou hast said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. O God, we pray to this end that thou would reveal thyself in the closing minutes of this meeting. Lord, that I would extend thy mighty arm. And the grace of God would reach his soul. Give them a gift of faith to accept the Lord Jesus as their Savior. Bless Johnny, we pray, as he would go around the various churches. Help him, O God, as he seeks to reach the young people. We pray that thou would give him words from thyself. Give him fruit for his labor. And O God, we pray that there would be many that ever would thank God one day that he crossed their path. So, Father, do accept of our thanks for thy goodness toward us, even in thy house today. Do abide with us as we part for a little season. May the blessing of the thrice holy God, O the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and abide upon God's people both now and forevermore. We pray these things in our Savior's name.